Thank you very much for having me. I'm from Montreal, the province of Quebec, Canada. And where do I click? Excuse me. Here? Excuse me? Okay. Just for the presenter's disclosure, I have no relationships to disclose. I'm going to present some of the results. I have to tell you that we just published the first volume of the results of the survey, which are on the health and lifestyle habits of high school students. It was just published on October 22nd in French. By the end of November, I will have the highlights in English on our website. And you can have, I have some bookmarks here that we were given to students after they filled out the questionnaires. So you'll be able to contact or go on our site to get this information. I'm greatly indebted to my two colleagues who aren't here with me today. They're both statisticians. I'm the lowly project manager, and that without them, I could not have done this presentation. Just a little bit about the context. The Quebec Ministry of Health and Social Services asked us to do this survey because we were lacking data on the youth in Quebec. And so it was funded mostly by the Quebec Ministry of Health and Social Services and also the Quebec Institute of Statistics. We carried it out, the Institute of Statistics, we carried it out in 470 high schools in 16 regions of Quebec. We had a sample size of over 63,000 students. And it was done with computerized questionnaires on mini laptops. It was wild. And it's the first in a series of surveys that we'll be doing on every 5 years. And the objectives are kind of normal. We want to fulfill priority need of monitoring the health and well-being of young people, contribute to better knowledge of their health status, guide policies and programs, and follow trends over time. And I'm going to be going very fast from this point on because I have more than enough to present. So in order to get a big survey like this off the ground, we had to have a massive mobilization effort. And we had a lot of coordination agreements between the Ministry of Health and Social Service, the Ministry of Education, provincial roundtables on health, public health departments, the school network. And we fortunately got a very nice letter of support that went to all school boards from the Ministry of Education. We had a lot of promotional tools. We have a beautiful website. We sent posters to school, pamphlets. And bookmarks were given to students at the end of the survey, and parents were formed via the students, so through a letter and pamphlets. Our target population were all students enrolled in Quebec public and private high schools in French and English in 16 regions of Quebec, grade 7 to 11, because grade 12 does not exist. Grade 12 and first year university is known as college in Quebec, and university is 3 years. So in other words, bachelor's degree is 3 years. Our principal's exclusions, we excluded the James Bay Cree regions and the Nunavik regions basically because of language and cultural differences. And all surveys have to be adapted to their population, so we do that in coordination with them in their separate surveys. So our target population covered 98% of the entire high school population. Our sampling frame was the Ministry of Education data file, and also listing of classes. We sampled by grade level, not by age. So the two ends of the age spectrum, 12 years and 17 years over, are not as representative, but they're representative of high school students, but not representative of 12-year-olds and 17 years of age and over. It was a two-stage stratified clustered sample, and first stage was schools were selected as first stage units with a probability proportional to the size of the student body independently in each health region, and the second stage classes were randomly selected in each of the sample schools. Okay, I won't go over all our data collection timeline. We did a lot of things, including focus groups, which I forgot to mention. But Our calls to schools began in October 2010. We had a team of telephone interviewers that called schools and listed all the classes. And then we did our visits to schools from the beginning of November to the end of May. We had 20 teams of interviewers, two people each, carrying 40 little laptops in four suitcases. I went out into the field in the beginning, and it was quite impressive, especially when you arrived in a high school that had no elevator, and they had to drag all this stuff up the steps. So, but it went very well. 483 schools were eligible, 69,323 students were eligible, and we had 63,196 respondents. So the participation rates at the level of data collection were very high, and our final weighted response weight, which took into account all components of non-response at the school, class, or student level, was 88%. We had two questionnaires because we had so many questions we wanted to ask. And I would say about 75 to 80% of the content was similar, was exact in both questionnaires. And another 20% probably were different questions. 95% were filled out on computer, the small laptops, and 5% were filled out on paper because of technological difficulties at the beginning of the survey, because the interviewers would sometimes panic and forget to call the 1-800 number that we had given them. But this all worked out in the end. The questionnaires took about 34 minutes to complete. Here's an overview of the massive number of themes. These are not even the questions, but themes. And I highlighted in bold all the areas that we wanted to look at to see how it would to use in our model, to test our, to see what aspects would help in showing the probability of being in a high-risk group for dropout. Many of our questions came from the California Healthy Kids Survey. So I won't go into much detail because it's a lot of information here, but since this will be available on site, feel free to read it. These are our demographic variables. We looked at sex, school year, family situation, parents' highest level of education, parents' employment status, students' employment, how many hours they work per week, deprivation index, which was created by people in Quebec, Pompelon and colleagues, language of instruction. Now, I just want to give an overview of the dropout rate in high school in Quebec. This is with leaving school without a diploma. It hovers around 17% right now. It's close to 22% in boys and 14% in girls. The dropout index was created by Michel, which is a man, Janos, from the University of Montreal. He based it on two questions on school performance, one question on repeating a grade, and four questions on school engagement. And he worked this out on this index on a couple of on data from longitudinal surveys of students with difficulties. So when we used his probabilities for a high risk, you know, falling into a high risk group for dropout, we came up with 40% of our students being at high risk for dropout, which was way too high. So we did as has been done in other studies in Quebec. We adjusted it to the overall dropout rate, and we rounded it off to the nearest quintile. So we set it at 20%. In some regions, the dropout rate is higher. It's like maybe 25% or 30%. So in each region can adjust the cut points according to their needs. Just to give you overall, it showed quite well that the risk of high risk of dropout was higher in boys than in girls. It peaked in ninth grade and then went down after that, probably in 15 to 16-year-olds. And very interestingly enough, in the small group of students, 7% of students who are in a special work training-oriented path, those are students who have difficulty in school, 5 minutes. It was quite high, so I'm going to go very fast. Okay, so we did a logistic regression where our outcome was high risk of dropout versus medium low risk, and we looked at the socio-demographic variables, lifestyle risk factors, and mental and psychosocial health. Now, this is the full model. All these factors fitted into our full model, except the last two that are in smaller print. Dating violence and bullying at school and cyberbullying did not fit into the model. There were some significant interactions with the number of hours worked and sex and alcohol and drug use and grade level. But all these factors fit into the model at, I'm hearing music, at 0.001 or less. So if we looked at the deprivation index as an example, those who were the least deprived or the most privileged, as we set that as the reference group, and you can see a clear gradient that as you go up to being more deprived or the least privileged, the odds ratios went up. Same thing with language. It was higher in the French sector than in the English sector. It was higher in blended families and single-parent families and students who came from other scenarios, that, such as foster families. The interaction with, there was an interaction between the numbers of hours of work and per week and girls and boys, and we could see quite clearly that when boys worked 16 hours a week or more, they were at the probability of falling into a high-risk group of dropout was greater. There was also a clear gradient with the parents' highest level of education, and this was as reported by the students. The probability was higher than those whose parents had some post-secondary or university education. It was also higher in unemployed parents. It was also higher in smokers. And with alcohol and drugs, we created an index. And basically, I just showed grade 7, 9, and 11 because I didn't want to fit them all. But by grade 11, there were no significant differences between the five categories. But from grade 7 to 9, those students who took drugs had higher odd ratios of being in the higher risk group than all the others. This is the explanation of that last slide, so you can read it at your time. To have a health measure, I looked at body mass index, and I was very surprised to see that it was the odds of being in a high-risk group of dropout was higher for those students who were overweight or obese or even underweight. Among the mental health variables, self-esteem came out as the most significant in the model, and those with low self-esteem had the greatest odds ratios. Aggressive behavior, direct, in other words, very physical. It's not indirect behavior where you're talking behind someone's back, but you're physically aggressive with others. If you had at least one behavior, it increased your odds. These three items here, meaningful participation in family life, caring adult at home, pro-social friends, were all significant. They come from the California Healthy Kids Survey. We got permission to use these questions. And if meaningful participation in family life was low, your odds were higher. If a caring adult at home was low, your odds were higher. And pro-social friends, there was some problems with this because if you had a low level of pro-social friends, somehow it lost significance. So this seems to be some kind of confounding effect going on that we have to look at further. These are very preliminary results. So I have 1 minute. Let's see. So we decided, because we wanted to look at the questions that were only in one of the questionnaires. So we looked at psychological distress. And we did the same model, but with these added variables. And psychological distress was not significant. School belonging, which is from the California Healthy Kids Survey, came out most significant. Caring adult at school was also very significant. meaningful participation at school was significant, but it had a very weak association, so it was not retained in the model, and therefore it was left out. There's more exploration to be done. This is very preliminary. As I said, we published a report on October 27th. The second volume will be published in the spring of 2013. Our data will be available from our Access to Data Center, the Info Center, and our Data Bank of Official Statistics from Quebec. And these are all the people who were on our steering committee. They were from public health departments, the Ministry of Health, and the National Institute of Public Health in Quebec. And I thank you very much. I got it all in.